A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Text appears, narrated by Uma Thurman.
What makes a good trilogy? Well, each of the first two acts should stand alone, contribute to the big picture, but leave the audience wanting more. While the third and final chapter provides an opportunity for a clearer outcome, whether it's in the form of redemption or validation.
Images of boxers.
That notion holds most consistently true in boxing. Of all the great rivalries to have entered the ring for a third time, they have something in common. None of them were one-sided.
A Netflix sports documentary.
In the spring of 2022, Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano, two of the greatest female boxers in history, faced off for the first time, headlining at Madison Square Garden. Katie walked away with the victory in a razor-thin and contentious split decision.
To me, it's like flipping a coin. I believe it was Taylor.
Serrano edged it out.
I felt Katie won.
Leaving the world impatient for more.
3, 4, 5 rounds in, I was ready to see the fight again.
Has to happen again, I demand it.
2.5 years later in Arlington, Texas, they got what they asked for. Over 100 million people tuned in to watch Jake Paul fight Mike Tyson. But instead, we're enraptured by the rematch between Katie and Amanda.
What more do you want from professional boxing?
It was the most viewed women's pro sporting event in U.S. history, shining a light into the shadows of the sport like never before.
History made again!
But like their first encounter, the fight was mired in controversy. And once again, much to the indignation of Team Serrano, Katie Taylor left the ring holding the belts.
How does one rob Amanda Serrano after a bravura performance like that?
A controversial, once again, victory for Taylor.
I just can't make any case for Katie Taylor having won that.
I think that Katie won the fight by a hair.
Serrano landed 107 more punches, but somehow she still lost.
In real time, I thought Taylor won.
I thought you won the fight.
You just never know with these judges anymore.
Could have gone either way. Just like the first one could have.
After two sensational and disputable fights were in the books, one thing was unanimous. That seems like unfinished business.
I still assume, though, that a trilogy is the likely outcome.
And let's make another great women's boxing match.
Amanda sits on a curved red velvet sofa. Katie enters and places several championship belts on a round red leather ottoman in front of the sofa. Amanda glares as Katie takes a seat a few feet away.
So, who won the first two fights?
I did.
On Friday, July 11th, back by popular demand, Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano will enter the ring and fight for a third time.
She is the undisputed super lightweight champion. She is the pride of Ireland. She is the one and only Katie Taylor.
Katie Taylor is the most popular Irish athlete of her generation. She's lost only once in 25 professional bouts. And yet her two wins against Amanda still carry a burden.
Serrano has never been knocked down in the ring, but the judges have knocked her down twice against Katie Taylor.
For Katie, this fight is a chance to finally quiet the haters.
You're trying to create a narrative that you're robbing those ass who fight. It's not okay, Amanda.
And put an end to the suggestion that Amanda Serrano was robbed.
Did you win? Did you do enough?
It's really, really insane that she thinks she won those fights. Delusional.
Millions of people saw her another way.
Amanda Serrano, who most regard as the GOAT, has only been defeated 3 times in her 51 professional fights. For Amanda, this may be her last chance to show the world that those losses to Katie Taylor were in the cards, not in the ring.
It sucks that it takes 3 judges who see something completely different.
There's nothing sweet about the science these two fighters bring to the sport. And in the ring, neither have given an inch, and both have vanquished the idea that this is only a stage for men.
They meet on a stage.
So it's time to finish the business. At a historic all-women's event, lightning will strike for a 2nd time in Madison Square Garden. And for a 3rd time, Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano will have us on the edge of our seats, waiting to see what will happen next. This is Countdown. Taylor versus Serrano.
The title appears next, A View of New York City.
We welcome you to the New York Knicks Halftime Report. Coming up July 11th, the first ever all-women's card in Madison Square Garden boxing history. Brooklyn's own Amanda Serrano joining me here at halftime. We're getting ready for the trilogy for this fantastic event. How are you feeling, Amanda?
I am pumped for this fight, not just for me, not for Katie, but for all the women on the card. And I just can't wait to go out there and throw some hands like I always do.
Well, we can't wait for July 11th. We can't see, to see it take center stage again. Good luck with the training.
Thank you so much, and let's go Knicks.
93 days until fight night. Next, Amanda sits outside with her sister, Cindy.
Let me put my sugar in my coffee so it can get nice and sweet.
I hope your nutritionist is not looking.
She doesn't know how I...
And believe it or not, I got into coffee as well.
Yeah, see, it's your fault. You add all the sugar.
My fault. She drink coffee. My fault. She fight. So you know what? This purse, she should give it to me. It's my fault.
That's why she gave me this mug for Christmas.
Following in your big sister's footsteps has a deeper meaning for the Serranos. Amanda was barely a teenager when she began watching Cindy fall in love with boxing, a sport at the time that had no place for women. Admiring Cindy's success in the ring only piqued Amanda's interest, and soon after, she wanted to lace up the gloves, much to the chagrin of Cindy's husband and trainer, Jordan Maldonado.
I tried to discourage her. I had Cindy spar with her, beat her up. She went home crying, came back the next day, wanted to train again. And Cindy's like, hey man, I'm hitting the girl with everything and she's not stopping. She's gonna keep coming back.
I just did it to have something in common with my sister and Jordan, just to be a nosy little girl. In Spanish, we call it thrometia, like in the mix, thrown in the mix. And my sister's like, look, she's tough, like she's not giving up. And then after that, Jordan was like, okay, let's see.
Then I became a fan of hers. I said, I think this is the toughest female I've ever seen. Didn't have a boyfriend, didn't have a cell phone. All she did was just train.
For you, it felt so easy, and it was so hard for me.
And this ain't easy, meaning the fights.
The fight, no,
the fights, not the journey.
No, but the fights, like, you would just whoop their ass. I'm like, oh my. And we had the same trainer. We did the same thing. And it's not that you had any easy road, because nothing was easy.
Amanda trains.
For years, Amanda Serrano grinded her way through the women's boxing circuit, pioneering the sport in both New York and Puerto Rico.
Amanda jumps rope.
She won titles in 7 different weight classes and became the most decorated female boxer in history. But even with all that success, Amanda was unrecognizable to the outside world. Entangled in a sport she loved that at the time was underappreciated.
I remember calling people up and telling them, hey, listen, I got a fighter, want to put on your card. They're like, wait a minute, it's a girl?
She shadow boxes.
People did not care about women's boxing. Networks, promoters, they did not want female boxing on their cards. There was times when my sister fought for $50. I fought for the 4th division world champion for $4,000. There was times where I'm like, we're done. But something kept pulling us back.
In 2020, Amanda's life would pivot when by chance she met 2 men, Nakisa Badarian and Jake Paul, whose new endeavor, Most Valuable Promotions, aimed to disrupt the norms of women's boxing and open a door for those abandoned by the short-sighted.
MVP is in the building.
Jake Paul.
My professional debut, Amanda was on the undercard, and I hadn't heard of her or anything. And she was fighting off of TV, which was insane. And that's when we kind of really hit it off, and like hearing her story and what she's been through and how they're fighting in back alley gyms, making $1,000 here, $2,000 here. And she's world champion, 6-time world champion at that time, basically 40 fights into her career. And I just couldn't believe it.
When we set up MVP, we said we want to put women's boxing on the map. So I knew that if you had a trailblazer, which what we believed Amanda Serrano was, it would make a real impact.
Amanda spars.
Nakisa had told Jordan and I, he said, listen, my goal is to make you a millionaire.
within a year. And me and Jordan looked and laughed.
Jake laid out stuff like $5 million for a fight, being in movies, being recognized for everything that you do. She thought we were crazy.
As crazy as it sounded, it didn't take long for that promise to be kept. Only months later at Madison Square Garden, Amanda challenged the undisputed lightweight champion of the world, Katie Taylor. At the time, arguably the best female fighter in the world. And what transpired changed the trajectory of women's boxing.
Images of a large crowd. Next, Karen Bhatia, boxing host.
Amanda Serrano, Katie Taylor, the first time they faced off, April of 2022. This was a much anticipated matchup.
They were the first two women to headline a card at MSG. That's a big deal. You make it there, you're a big freaking deal.
It was what really broke the glass ceiling. We weren't looking at this as female versus male. We were just looking at this as pure, incredible professional boxing.
It was the perfect venue for this fight because it literally felt like it was 50% Puerto Rico, 50% Ireland.
They warm up in the ring.
I didn't really know how big it was until I stepped into that ring with her. And I said, Katie, look what we did.
All right.
Well. I was so focused on myself that I didn't really hear the words that were coming out of her mouth, but I remember her saying something like, this is it, we made this happen.
Baker Machado.
Out of the gate, when the bell rung, it was exciting. The energy was insane.
It was so electric in there.
The loudest fight that I have ever seen live.
The fight didn't disappoint, and the breathtaking mix of Puerto Rican and Irish fans in attendance only added to the drama. No more evident than at the midway point when Amanda almost put an end to Katie's night.
I don't really care about being hurt in the fifth round. I actually won the sixth round. I actually won the second half of that fight.
Katie and Amanda went back and forth for all 10 rounds in what many consider one of the greatest boxing matches in history. It was named Fight of the Year in 2022. And was the largest payday in women's boxing history.
Both women have cuts on their faces.
A fight worthy of the occasion!
The bout was a monumental win for the sport. But after the two fighters answered the bell for the final round, only one could take home the belts.
Who won? I do not know! I would not want to be a judge for this fight.
So this is what's so hard about boxing. Unless it is clearly obvious who won, nobody knows at the end of the day what these judges are going to pick. You could have made an argument for both women to win this. You could have made an argument that it should have been a draw.
Judges are scoring each and every round. The winner of each round gets a 10. The loser of the round gets a 9. You add everything up, and now you've got a winner. You and I could debate. The internet could debate. But ultimately, the only opinions that really, truly matter are three people sitting around the ring.
But you're winning by split decision.
They stand center ring. A trainer lifts Katie onto his shoulders.
So at the end of the day, it made no difference how many more punches Amanda Serrano landed. What mattered was that two of the three judges determined Katie Taylor won more rounds. It was a decision Serrano fans disagreed with, and that split many of those in attendance and watching from home.
I was rooting for Amanda Serrano in that moment and thought that she was going to win and got this light edge.
I do believe
Ariel Helwani
that Katie Taylor won the first fight.
Both women fought their hearts out. This is a historic moment. I thought Amanda Serrano took it, and let's run it back. The second fight just got a whole lot bigger.
I actually think Amanda Serrano did enough to win fight one, but I think everyone in attendance, everyone watching at home was saying, hey, I want to see that fight again.
This was the biggest fight in women's boxing history. What's going through your mind right now?
I think we're both runners here tonight. Look, look what we've just done. I'm just grateful to be in this position, really. What a fight, what a win, what a night.
Text appears, Connecticut. Daytime. A single window is open on the second level of a multi-story red brick building. Inside, Katie, drenched in sweat, trains by slamming a large tire with a sledgehammer.
Katie Taylor was born in Bray, Ireland, a coastal town 12 miles south of Dublin. Her father, Pete, was a boxer, and her mother, Bridget, was one of the first female boxing judges in Ireland. Katie was a soft-spoken child, often lost in the commotion of her three other siblings. And it was evident early on that the family's humble beginnings would help shape Katie's reserved nature.
Katie's very shy, to the point where there was times I might have been even worried about her. But she was involved in all kinds of sports, and that was where she came alive.
Bridget Taylor, Katie's mom.
She was always very competitive, didn't like losing anything. You know, if it was a game of cards, Katie didn't like losing, you know, wasn't part of her DNA.
Katie catches her breath.
She kind of had that tunnel vision, you know, that focus on whatever she was doing. She wanted to be the best at it.
Text appears. 65 days until fight night. Katie punches a black heavy bag in the gym. Next, Pete Taylor, Katie's father.
I opened a boxing club in 1995. I had no babysitter that night. I said, do you want to bring her up to the club? So I looked over and she's in sparring with the lads. That was the first time. And I think she just fell in love with it then.
The minute I walked into a boxing gym as a 9 or 10 year old, I just fell in love. I even loved the smell of the boxing gym. That's how much I love being in there.
I think very quickly her dad noticed that she just had a real aptitude for it. Boxing was really what, as she often says, is what took hold of her heart.
And obviously there wasn't many female fighters. Every club you walked into, what's she doing here? There was an awful lot of barriers that needed to be broken down, and it was a tough journey.
Archival footage of Katie.
I was training with all the guys, and they were off going to different competitions, and I had no competitions to go to, so in order to get fights, my dad used to pretend that I was a boy.
I used to put Katie's ponytail into the headguard and introduce her just as Kay Taylor.
At the end of the fight, generally your hand was raised, the headguard would be taken off, the ponytail would drop back down, and everyone would be in shock. Women's boxing wasn't a thing, and Katie made it a thing.
You're hearing about this little lady beating the shit out of all the guys all over Ireland. She's kind of the most extraordinary, ordinary person, which I know was kind of a contradiction, but you could sense she was destined for greatness.
As the restraints on women's boxing began to ease in the early 2000s, Katie, with father and trainer Pete in her corner, fought through the amateur circuit, quickly becoming the most decorated female boxer in Europe. At the 2012 Summer Olympic Games in London, women's boxing made its debut. Katie was the flag bearer for Ireland, and then became the first ever boxing gold medal winner in the lightweight division.
When the final bell went in the Olympic final, he already had his arms out to give me a hug.
It was relief because there was so much pressure. A silver medal in the Olympic Games wouldn't have been good for us. The Ireland expected a gold medal.
Standing atop the podium solidified her legacy and overnight made her one of the most recognizable people in all of Ireland.
When Katie fights, the country comes to a standstill. St. Patrick might be her patron saint, but Katie's pretty close.
I have never seen a sportsman or woman who is as beloved like Ireland loves and reveres Katie Taylor. But she chooses not to live there. She wants nothing to do with that fame. She lives in a remote part of Connecticut where I bet she goes to the supermarket and no one knows who she is, and she is absolutely thrilled about this.
Text appears, 47 days until fight night. Katie pushes a shopping cart with a wobbly front wheel in a grocery store. Her mother walks beside her.
In some ways, I think it's nice to be able to be anonymous, you know, it's particularly if you're a quiet person and if you're an introvert. I mean, what exhausts Katie is trying to deal with people all the time.
I do love the peace and quiet in here in Connecticut. That's one of the reasons why I love about living over here is being anonymous. Sometimes it's nice, you can just be yourself.
Can I get two of these ribeyes, please?
It's your protein tonight, anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
With the fight on Friday, July 11th, just under 7 weeks away, having mom in town may be the only treat Katie gets to enjoy.
Now, what else do we need?
Chocolate. Are we allowed to get chocolate?
Navigating the aisles of a local grocery store here in Connecticut, one of Ireland's most famous people is able to hide in plain sight, contrary to the hysteria she lives with in her home country.
Grocery shopping back home would be a bit different. Last year for my mum's birthday, we went up the town. I think we were in one shop for 3 hours. Like, it was like, even the people that were serving, they stopped serving. Yeah, I mean, she can't walk down the street. She likes the idea of the quietness, just being able to come back into her home and not be recognised by everybody. It's a contrast, but both are nice.
An aerial view of a neighbourhood in the woods. Later, two ribeye steaks sit on a plate in Katie's kitchen.
Yeah, have
I? No, not yet. Yeah. Not for many. You just sit down there and look pretty.
Katie's mother cooks the steaks.
Having mom do some of the heavy lifting is a benefit to Katie's grueling training schedule. The added comforts of home can also be a reminder of the road she was once on and the bridges she helped build to get here.
The Olympic gold medal?
Yeah.
I wish I had it over here with me, but
I actually brought it with me.
There you go.
There's it.
Katie's mother holds the gold medal.
There's not too many people have them. They're very rare.
Yeah, absolutely.
And particularly this colour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
So my number one goal in life all the way throughout my whole childhood was to be an Olympic champion.
Well, I think it was such an unusual dream to have, particularly as a child in a sport that didn't exist.
Dreaming of an Olympic gold medal in women's boxing. Women's boxing wasn't even in the Olympics at that time.
But no,
it was an impossible dream, really. Yeah. To stand on top of the podium with the Irish flag going up, hearing the national anthem, well, it was a very, very special moment.
Katie fights tears and shakes her head, then gestures with her right hand.
Well, why do I always get so emotional about them?
It's hard to imagine anything more monumental than bringing home gold for your country. Or better yet, where women's boxing would be just 12 years later.
Fight 2, the rematch.
On November 15th of 2024, 70,000 people were in attendance at AT&T Stadium, and over 100 million people live-streamed the bout between Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. It was a global spectacle unlike anything ever conceived. But what had people talking the next day wasn't the final fight of the evening. It was the rematch between Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano.
Ariel.
They were put on that card right below Jake Paul and Mike Tyson as the hardcore fans fight.
Could they really top the first one? And they fucking did.
They stole the show.
Amanda.
The bell rang for the first round, and I'm like, now is my time to shine. And then the last 10 seconds of that round, I caught her with the left hand, and I was like, yes, it's gonna be an early night.
Highlights.
And there again!
Oh, nice shot!
Drama from the jump.
Katie.
You have ebbs and flows in every single big fight. I went back to my corner clear-headed, and I'm able to adjust.
You come back in range, gotta bring the shit back up. Keep occupying her with the lean hand. She's ducking underneath right hands, right?
Then there comes the headbutts.
There's an issue with Taylor's body
language. Amanda may have a cut over eye.
I think that was from the headbutt.
Yeah, but you see a wince right there. Blood coming out of the cut right there, she's wincing.
Wow, look at that shit. Come on, man. That's a headbutt, dog. She's doing that dirty shit. That's all she could do. She grabbed you, she headbutts you.
When an orthodox fighter, a right-handed fighter, fights a southpaw fighter, a left-handed fighter, there is a head clash because of the way their stances are, their heads are closer together, and the movement causes accidental headbutts to happen. And that is exactly what happened in this fight.
Katie.
I don't think anybody really believes, even Amanda's team believes that was anything but accidental. The headbutts are just an occupational hazard of this sport. Her head also clashed with my head.
Watch that head, both of you.
And as the fight continued, you realized that the blood above Amanda Serrano's face was going to be a major storyline.
Oh, blood gushes from the cut.
No.
That cut has suddenly become a major issue.
I want the doctor.
The cut over Amanda's right eye was so bad that it caused the referee to stop the fight and force the ringside doctor to decide if the contest should go on.
Can you continue?
Yeah.
Can you continue?
Yeah.
Go ahead and let her go.
You better change something.
The ref warns Katie.
Then the second one came, and boy, did that hurt.
Hey, stop. Okay, that's a headbutt. Don't do it again.
I never been hurt that bad in a fight. I actually blacked out. I was like, whoa.
Highlights.
In round 8 is the controversial moment in this fight. The referee decided to deduct a point from Katie Taylor for those headbutts.
Stop!
The ref separates them and points at Katie. Blood streams down Amanda's face.
1 point.
In a 10-round fight, every point is crucial. And so when you deduct a point from a fighter, it can have a significant impact.
There's actually instances where they both had initiated contact with the head. Amanda actually hits us with her head while her trainer's in the corner bitching and moaning that we're dirty.
She's so dirty.
A lot of her opponents have been cut, headbutted. She leads with her head, man. That's her best attribute.
The 10th and final round. Every person in the stadium is on its feet.
It's one of the greatest fights of all time. Still, people come up to me today and like, oh, I love the Mike Tyson fight. Man, the fight before, though.
The rematch was once again a back-and-forth contest, with neither fighter willing to surrender. And much like their first encounter, most felt the fight could have gone either way once it was in the judges' hands.
Simply incredible!
Wow! But this time, the decision was unanimous.
I landed 107 more punches on Katie Taylor. I felt confident. I felt like finally I got it.
I think the second fight was a bit closer, but that's boxing for you.
And still, the undisputed super lightweight champion of the world, Katie Taylor!
All I'm worried about is what the three judges said. You know, and the three judges unanimously scored the fight for ourselves. Bob in the front row, who's 12 beers deep, didn't like the decision. I'm not really too concerned about that.
Amanda and her team strongly believed that Katie was leading with her head. I don't believe that that was part of her game plan. That's just kind of the way she fights.
When you're getting headbutted repeatedly and the ref is, I'm doing what, he didn't do anything. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of headbutting.
It's very disappointing the amount of complaining and whining the other team has done, really. Not only did they complain about the first decision, but they're also complaining about the second decision, and enough is enough.
I think this is going to be an asterisk on Katie Taylor's legacy. I thought Amanda Serrano won the fight with that headbutt. She just kept going and throwing the more effective, more power punches.
I think it's unfortunate that the commentary was very biased.
Katie leaves the ring.
I was getting booed after the fight, but I don't really care because I walked away with the belts that night. They can say all they want, all the commentators. I really don't care.
A montage of sports talk shows.
It was a bit frustrating to hear the commentary team over and over again that Katie Taylor was deliberately headbutting.
When you got somebody lunges in with their head and you box front foot heavy, the first thing they catch is your face.
Katie fought a dirty fight.
She wasn't trying to headbutt her.
Guess what? It's boxing. It happens.
It wasn't intentional.
The cut, I think, played a major role in this fight.
They knew that Katie comes in that way and they didn't prepare for it.
They thought that she was robbed because of the headbutt.
To go be a cheat and to try to intentionally butt somebody would be against everything Katie Taylor ever stood for.
Obviously, that was the hardest thing that Katie hit me with, was with her head.
They're calling me a dirty fighter. That wasn't purposely done. I'm in there fighting like she is. And sometimes you get head clashes, so you have to fight through those things.
People are like, how is she fighting with the cut? I said, adrenaline, and she's a boxer, she's a tough son of a bee.
But that cut will take time to heal and could potentially affect Amanda Serrano in the future if it doesn't ever heal completely.
Text appears, 33 days until fight night. Next, Amanda looks into a mirror.
Obviously, after the decision, I was like, wow. But when I went to the back and before the doctor stitched me up, I looked in the mirror. I was more sad for my family back home watching. It looks a lot worse on TV, but hey, I have a nice scar. It's actually finally getting better. I can barely see it today. It took about 2.5-3 months for it to fully heal, for the pain and the bone to go away. She just rearranged my whole eyebrow. We have to do something a little different so she doesn't open it once again, because this eye needs to hold up for the third fight.
It takes some fighters years to find harmony in camp.
Puerto Rico.
Tinkering routines and making small personnel adjustments to find the perfect balance can be the difference between winning and losing. Even this deep into her illustrious career, Amanda still finds new ways to keep things sharp.
Jordan's the strict guy, like he's like straight to business. And then I have John, which is Canito, that's what I call him, Canito, and I have Jose now. And they're the ones that get me down to business, but in between, they make me smile, they make me laugh.
Amanda spars.
Before it was just like straight up, like punching things and boxing. And now I get to have a smile in between rounds, or like he'll say something funny, or if I accidentally hit them on purpose. Sorry.
I just try to bring the enthusiasm back and just make it fun. Make it fun. Always tell in the gym, make it fun, make it fun. And sometimes I talk too much and he tells me to shut up, but that's what I'm here for, you know?
Jose Guzman, Amanda's assistant coach.
Amanda's already a made fighter, you know, so there's not really a lot to change on her. You just want to mix it up a little bit. So they brought me in to make her move a little bit more and just sharpen the little things that she can do better. As soon as we landed in the airport, she came running up to us. She was like,
he clenches his fists.
Let's fuck up. And that's the mindset she has going into this camp.
I'm doing everything possible for this fight to give me that extra edge. So I'm adding a first-time cook, nutritionist to my camp, and then sports recovery twice a week.
Got this, you got this.
Amanda sits in a cold water bath. Sydney Rose Miller.
She'll meet people she trusts, and then she's like, whatever they recommend, she's down to try. She's like, yeah, I'm down, and she gets in and knocks out 3 minutes, which, like, nobody does that on their first session. So, yeah.
Tell you, I'm not from this world.
She sits in a sauna.
I've seen what I've done without all that, so to add that to my team, I'm excited to see the outcome.
Amanda punches a heavy bag.
There you go. That's the way you're supposed to get off the line.
Looking for an edge is an adjustment any fighter is willing to make. But one tweak that seems essential to finally solving the Katie Taylor puzzle on Friday, July 11th, is to avoid the inevitable clashing of fighting styles. Still a point of contention in Serrano's camp 7 months later.
Let's go.
Nikisa Badarian, MVP co-founder.
I don't think Katie Taylor was intentionally headbutting Amanda Serrano to cut her. I do believe Katie realizes the power that Amanda has in her fists and uses her head for protection effectively, right? And leads with her head to try to suffocate Amanda's ability to throw any punches. That is a technique that she uses. So the onus now is on Amanda to be even more prepared for that.
Trainer Jordan Maldonado.
What are you gonna do different this time? Well, you know, it depends on what Katie's strategy is, right? Because you could go in there thinking you're gonna do something and your opponent has a different plan.
Fight highlights.
Katie tends to come in and lean in a lot with her head, as you've seen from the last fight.
Amanda trains in the ring with Jose.
Everybody knows Amanda is a great pressure fighter, you know, who hits hard with both hands. So that's what I'm basically focused on for this fight.
That status of GOAT or being the best, that's a name that is given to you. You don't give that to yourself. I believe I'm the best. Who's gonna tell me I'm not the best? Listen, I'm a legitimate hard puncher. I've been punching hard since I started boxing. Since I was an amateur, I was knocking out girls. I don't have 31 knockouts for no reason. I hit hard. She was the only one that was hurt in the fight with punches. I was hurt with headbutts.
Jose grabs her glove and puts it to his face.
It can't be any worse than what happened the last fight, unless my eye comes out the socket. It's part of the game. Blood, sweat, tears, cuts, it's all good. I'm good with it. I'm ready for it this time.
Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor, they're always 50-50 fights, right? Like, no one knows what's gonna happen until they're inside the ring.
Amanda throws hard lefts.
I think this fight right here is just gonna erase all doubts from Amanda Serrano that she did win those two fights. And this is where she really stamps her legacy.
I wanted to be me and Katie Taylor, not the referee and the three judges against Amanda the Real Deal Serrano. But I don't want to train about her. I don't want to think about her. Like, I'm so tired of Katie Taylor. And I'm pretty sure she feels the same way about me.
Text appears, Connecticut. Next, trainer Ross Enamite.
All the commentary was biased against us. They can sway the narrative. So if you're not a boxing fan and you're listening, you hear a voice, you're watching the fight, and you start to think, oh, maybe this girl actually isn't winning the fight. There's boxing people, like real boxing people. Teddy Atlas, Terrence Crawford, Shakur Stevenson, Caleb Plant, Sergio Mora, Dan Rafael. These are all people that their livelihoods are based on the sport of boxing. And they all had us winning the fight. So when you have people of that stature giving us the fight, saying, look, it was close, but they won. That's not a robbery. That's a close fight, and that's what happens when the best fight the best.
Katie, her brown hair in a ponytail, gets behind the wheel of her vehicle and drives through the countryside in the rain. Text appears, 22 days until fight night.
Love the Irish weather. It definitely reminds me of home when I'm looking at this kind of weather, but during the winter times when you're plowing the snow, it's awful. So the fight's only a few weeks away now, and this is the exciting time. I just can't wait to step in into the ring. All the hard work over the last few weeks and months is leading up to July 11.
Preparation and consistency has been a hallmark of Katie's entire career. But sometimes in life, you can't see what's coming. In 2016, just before the Rio Olympics, rumors became a reality when she discovered her father had strayed from his marriage, severing two relationships at the same time. Pete, the man who had been in her corner for 20 years, was now gone.
Katie was unbeaten for 10 years. It's unheard of as an amateur. 5 world championships, she wins 6 European championships, she wins an Olympic gold medal, and Pete is there for every second. For her to say to her father that she's finished, ooh, that took some...
Brian Peters.
That took something special.
Adding insult to injury, Katie, a heavy favorite, failed to defend her gold medal in Rio, a devastating loss that left many wondering if her best days were in the past.
I think a lot of people were actually writing me off after that fight. She should retire, or Katie's not the same anymore. But I just knew it wasn't. I knew I had something left in me. I knew I had something big to do in the sport. And that's when I decided to do something different. I needed a huge change. And I've known of Ross for years before that. My dad used to have his books lying around the house. And he was very well respected in our household. So I just contacted him, asked him could I come over for a few weeks.
When Katie first reached out to me, I didn't know who she was. I wasn't really too familiar with female boxing. And then she was persistent and reached out 3 or 4 times. And eventually, I kind of looked her up and I said, oh, this girl actually knows how to fight.
Ross enters the gym.
We initially started with a 3-week kind of getting to know each other training camp. And I had her spar with one of the guys at one of the local gyms. And then we took her down to spar with a girl that I don't know if she was a world champion, had fought for a title, and Katie did really well. And I was like, wow, this girl's actually, you know, pretty special.
Ross Enamite had never coached a female fighter. And if Katie wanted to train with him, he had one condition. She had to move permanently to the United States. It was a difficult choice, one that her team struggled with as well.
She ended up coming out to Ross by herself, not knowing anything, nobody. I thought she was stone fucking crazy. Here we are in Connecticut, which is a lovely place, but, you know, the only fucking reason you're here is if you're lost. Like, it's, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere.
And a month later, she had a pro debut. 3 weeks later, we had our second fight.
Katie arrives.
I never went back really after those few weeks. I got the fire back again. I got the love for my sport back again. I knew that this is where I was supposed to be.
Outside of the change in trainer, now almost a decade ago, Katie has kept her team the same for her entire career. Living a modest life in the middle of Connecticut has made limiting outside distractions one of her best assets. And it's hard to argue with her success over the years.
I don't like too many people around me, really, and even when I'm training, it's a very quiet camp. That's the way I've always liked it. I don't like too much noise around me.
A huge thing for Katie is consistency. She spent over 17 years of her life waking up in the morning as a reigning world champion, be that as an amateur or as a professional. That's pretty much over half her life. And I think it's all down to the consistency, the hard work she puts in, whether there's cameras in the gym or no cameras in the gym.
She hits the heavy bag.
I think every fighter is unique. You know, it's not that one's better or worse than another, but she's definitely very disciplined, very hardworking, very competitive, you know, stubborn, which I think you need to be to be successful.
Good. Can I put a shoulder on it?
She's never pleased. You know, she could blow someone out in the first round, and she's looking at the fight, what can I do better, what can I do better? So she's always trying to improve upon her last performance.
I think you can always improve what you've done the last fight. We're always making a small few adjustments here and there.
That kind of commitment has set Katie apart from other fighters and has procured a 24-1 professional record. So, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. She's 2-0 versus Amanda Serrano and has no intention of changing her approach, just to appease those who consider her in-ring technique too aggressive.
If I'm a lefty and she's a righty, and they're both kind of coming forward trying to establish the front foot, sometimes that's going to happen. We got butted in that fight. The difference is we weren't screaming about it. We didn't have the commentary talking about it. But, you know, it went both ways. We got cut, too.
Thomas Rohan.
It's pretty much still the same old Katie, you know, so it's the same consistency that you see day in, day out. Looking really good, really sharp. We also have our friend here, the headbutt bag. So, you know, she's done a couple of good rounds in that too today. So that's a joke, by the way, for any of the sensitive souls out there.
Next, a view of the outside of the red brick gym gives way to a tan mini barn sitting in a yard. Inside, Katie moves around a boxing ring. Text appears, 12 days until fight night.
It's only a matter of days now before Katie Taylor enters the ring against Amanda Serrano for the third time. And while change has been something Katie has shied away from, leading up to next week's fight, she's made an exception. After 8 years, her father Pete is back in camp. The notion that time heals all wounds takes center stage as Katie prepares for the biggest fight of her life.
Oh my God.
It takes some doing just to get that relationship back. That takes a lot of work. It's beautiful to see it. Katie uses the great word restoration.
She trains with her father in the ring.
Slip shift goal.
To be back training with him is huge for me. You can't mention my story without mentioning my dad.
Katie hits punching mitts.
Very good. This is a happy place for the two of us, you know. We're just so comfortable in here together. Very good. Katie's my child, and I know inside out, even though Ross has been with her for the last 10 years, I still know Katie better than anybody else. When you have two people as interested in one person, the conversation is always going to be constructive. Two ways is better than one.
Surprisingly, even after winning the first two bouts against Amanda Serrano, when the two fighters enter the ring on Friday, July 11th, Katie will potentially be the slight underdog. But with Pete back in her corner, there's an added layer of confidence to Katie's already comprehensive repertoire.
No matter what, she'll always find a way of winning. And no disrespect to Amanda Serrano, I don't think she has the tools to beat Katie.
We know each other very well at this stage. I know what I need to work on. I know what I need to do. My motivation is still the same as it always is, even more so.
Katie's got the abilities to adapt all the time, you know, and obviously Amanda's going to adapt as well. You've seen the best of Amanda Serrano in both the fights, in all fairness to her, but I still don't think you've seen the best of Katie Taylor. And I think in this fight, you're going to see the best of Katie Taylor, and it's going to shock Amanda Serrano.
Daytime, they leave the barn. Later, icing on a chocolate cake reads, "Happy birthday, Katie," with number 39 candles.
Happy birthday to Katie. Come on, Pete, come on, get in here now. You're comfy. Happy birthday to Katie. Happy birthday to you. That was bad. Take two, yeah, no, we have to go again. That was real bad.
The two candles are lit.
I think if you had asked me when I was younger, if I thought I was still going to be boxing at 39 years of age, I probably would have said no, but I don't think anybody could have really ever envisioned this for my life or for Amanda's life.
In slow motion, Katie smiles and blows the candles out.
I just see my hand again being raised again this fight, and I can walk away from this trilogy 3-0.
Later, she rides a stationary bike.
And then all the talking stops.
Katie sits on the bike covered in sweat. Strands of hair cling to her wet face. She wipes her brow and continues working out.
I know she's not fully happy with what she hears and what she sees. People are saying that I won. She said something that really irritated me. She said she wants to get the win without my team complaining. And I'm like, it's not just me that's complaining. She won on paper, but she didn't win in the eyes of the fans. So she wants a definite win. Like, she wants a win that no one can question.
Nighttime, Amanda jogs. Next, Jake Paul and Nikisa Badarian.
This is called Amanda Serrano's chance to win for the third time.
Amanda hasn't gotten the decision on paper, though she's gotten a decision in the minds of many fans. And Katie's never been able to say, "I won," and not hear a bunch of boos around her.
I've just given her the biggest payday of her life. I think she should be sitting down and thanking me really for this opportunity. I'm pretty certain if it was the other way around, she wouldn't have given me this opportunity to fight her again. I don't think she would have even given me the opportunity to fight her the second time. But here I am at 2-0 against her, and I'm giving her a third opportunity.
No, we need each other. I'm making that money because of Katie, and Katie's making that money because of me. We make magic when we step into that ring.
Both fighters jog. Next, Katie's mother watches her daughter do incline sit-ups. Elsewhere, Amanda's face strains as she lifts weights in her gym.
You may be saying to yourself, I've seen this before, but you haven't. Because there's never been an event like this.
Both fighters continue working out. Katie uses an ab roller. Amanda spars.
Come July 11th, I get goosebumps saying it. It's going to be a great night for the fans. They're going to see an all-woman's card. That is the icing on the cake.
The eyes of the world will be on the sport of boxing like never before. An all-women's card of the best female fighters in the sport for 6 championships. The most world titles on the line at any boxing event in history.
It's absolutely remarkable right now. Women's boxing is in a completely different state, and here we are.
Including a co-main event between the next global star, Alicia Baumgartner, and Spain's Jennifer Miranda for the undisputed super featherweight title.
Headline the show, an all-female card. This is the proudest moment of my whole career right now.
Each and everyone is gonna come to try to steal the spotlight from me and Katie.
Footage of the women working out is followed by highlights from past men's fights.
Yes, in previous trilogy fights, it's been proven difficult to beat someone 3 times.
I am going into this fight 2-0. She needs this fight a lot more than I do.
So if history repeats itself, this time, Amanda Serrano might prevail.
Katie Taylor and her team, they made one big mistake to take this third fight.
But if Amanda can't sway the judges or take the decision out of their hands, then Katie Taylor could once again defend her title.
We've done it twice. We can go out there and shut them up once and for all and win decisively.
Jake Paul.
Amanda Serrano is going to get it this time in her hometown, and she's going to right the 2 previous wrongs, and that's what I'm hoping for.
Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano have taken women's boxing out of the shadows, into the light, and onto a stage like none other.
Both fighters train in the ring.
Amanda Serrano, Katie Taylor, we're gonna bring it.
The first one was incredible, the second one was even better, and I predict the third one to be outstanding as well.
Back where it all began at Madison Square Garden, both fighters hope to end this story and finish the business.
I have won the last 2 fights, but still feel like people haven't seen the best of me, and I'm very, very excited about that.
Once that bell rings, that's when Amanda the Real Deal comes out. I just can't wait to keep Katie Taylor's name out my mouth.
Amanda recuperates.
I don't care what she's doing. She should be worried about what I'm doing.
So what's the plan? Leave no doubt once the final bell rings. Who will come out on top? Katie Taylor? Amanda Serrano? It's safe to say, on Friday, July 11th, the winner will be anyone who's watching.
Both fighters stare at us. Cut to black. Credits. Audio description by Descriptive Video Works. Written by Jeff Heck. Narrated by Matthew Dick. Directed by Jackie Decker and Tim Mullen. Executive producers Ian Orfis, Michael Antonoro, Jake Paul, Nikisa Badarian, Joanna McLaughlin, Amanda Spain. Narrated by Uma Thurman. Editors Mike Appy, Tim Mullen, Jackie Decker. Story producer Anthony Kakuza. Field producer Patrick Straw. Directors of photography Justin Federicks, Brian Twiz Baruso. Copyright 2025 Netflix. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Any unauthorized use may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Logo. A white W with a diamond over a black screen moves and morphs into the words Ever Wonder Studio.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.